This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1407. Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded May 6th, Taiwan relays via Florida ending. More shortwave from Myanmar, less after cyclone. Investigating Chinese shortwave transmitters. English from Mongolia, North Korea, Laos. DRM from Alaska. What became of Dodie Cowan and Pete Miller? Confusing new service to Cameroon, monitoring inside Iran, and the propagation outlook. On April 28th at 22:09, I almost concluded that the relay in English of Radio Taiwan International via Florida to Europe was missing from 15600. But listening closely, I could just barely detect a signal, so it was just a case of poor propagation. However, before long, it really will be missing, it seems. We may have mentioned before that Radio Taiwan International was requesting its North American listeners to write in and say whether they'd be happier listening via internet instead of shortwave. Ian Baxter in Australia reminds us to send in our replies. The person to write to is Paula, P-A-U-L-A, at rti.org.tw. That was as of May 2nd. However, we have some bad news. They've apparently already made their decision about what to do about that. On the same date, Paul Geiger in Austria posted to the German ADX group via Kai Ludwig, who explains it in English, Radio Taiwan International will stop using WYFR as of July 1st. That's why they've been asking shortwave listeners in North America to give their opinions. A decision is still pending whether they will be done on June 30th or make new arrangements, which would be necessary to continue on shortwave. One possibility would seem to be relayed via French Guiana. They're already doing some relays via TDF in France. And how about Family Radio, which has been relaying in exchange via transmitters in Taiwan? Will those continue? And if so, they apparently would have to start leasing airtime rather than exchanging it. And TDF likes to make some frequency changes at the beginning of May, one of them being the Radio Taiwan relay in English via France at 16 to 17 UT from 11600 to 15515, as Andy said, reminds us in the Media Network blog. Here's more on the new shortwave broadcasts from Myanmar we mentioned last week. In BCDX, Alok Dasgupta in India says, from midnight to 0130 UT, I'm hearing a program which might be in Burmese or one of the native languages Kachin or Karen with lots of music, and also at 12:30 until 1500. The sign-off and sign-off times vary. This presumably refers to 5915, and in the local mornings it has severe co-channel interference from Vatican Radio. Victor Gunatelika in Sri Lanka via BCDX says 5915 was parallel to 5040 at 1100 with the domestic service, and 5985 exactly with the more western-oriented service. At 12:30, 5770 was also on the air for a total of four shortwave transmitters heard at once. At midnight UT on 5915, parallel to 5985, midnight 37185 starts up as well. For the record, Joe's Jacob in India tells us the Myanmar station was monitored by me on April 22nd on 5815 at midnight to midnight 20. However, at midnight 32, they were on 5915 a few minutes later. So maybe 5815 was a mistake. Current monitoring shows that sometimes 5915 is parallel to 5985 and at other times parallel to 5040. Ron Howard in California wonders if the additional frequencies and getting the old frequency back where it's supposed to be, 5985.0, have anything to do with reports that Myanmar's radio station is broadcasting from the country's new capital, Naypyidaw, which I'm probably mispronouncing. MRT, the broadcaster, has moved to the new capital, leaving their Yangon or Rangoon location. Kai Ludwig replies, new studios at an isolated location. Seems they have no interest in receiving any guests. This story is about the studio and office facilities. I think it's really unlikely that any transmitters have been moved. Steve Lehrer in Michigan consulted the CIA World Factbook, which says that Rangoon is the capital of Myanmar, but the administrative capital is this other place, Nay Pye Taw. On May 6th, Joe's Jacobin, India, after the cyclone, says, right now at 12:35, I am unable to hear Myanmar on 5915 or 5985. On May 1st, Seiichi Hasegawa of Nagoya DX Circle told us that Bangladesh Betar on 4750 had extended its broadcast. It had been signing off at 1600, but now it's lasting until 1710 after the Bengali news at 1700. Hearing the English service of Voice of Mongolia is quite unlikely in North America, much as we would like to, but it's being heard elsewhere. Roman Pankov in Bulgaria reports in Australian DX News 12085 had not been heard for 2 weeks, but it was back on April 29th, and a stronger signal at 0930 in English, with news, a rap song in Mongolian, and a program called Discover Mongolia. It was repeated at the new time of 1530 on the same 12085 after a Japanese broadcast. And in New South Wales, on a de-expedition, Craig Seeger says he also heard the English service at 1531. It was very listenable, April 23rd, with a huge signal. Kai Ludwig has been researching the shortwave transmitters which have made their way to China from Western countries, and we know what they're being used for now, don't we? At the Transmitter Documentation Project, www.tdp.info, he found that apparently all continental transmitter deliveries, there were 10 420C transmitters and 20 of the 418 series, which are 100 kilowatts. These took place in the first half of the 1990s. After 2000, there was another round of even bigger investment in shortwave facilities, this time from Thomson in France. The TDP page shows no less than 35 TSW 2500 transmitters, and he thinks those are more than delivered to all their other customers. And this list may not be complete since it omits the Kashi site in extreme western China, where all these transmitters could be more than 40 installed with ALIS rotatable antenna units. If so, Reporters Without Borders should not be very wrong by associating ALIS with Chinese jamming, as they have done repeatedly. The Chinese jamming is done with ordinary broadcasting transmitters, including rotatable antenna units like the ones at Now in Germany. Ola Alm in Sweden says, as far as I know, only three rotatable antennas have been spotted, two at Zhejiang and one at Qixihar. All others seen in Google Earth images are fixed curtains. Before the big expansion of the jamming networks, the Chinese used some high-powered transmitters modulated with the CNR1 program in narrowband FM, sometimes with a low-frequency growl added. These were then converted to normal AM. At times, ordinary broadcast transmitters were taken off their normal frequencies and used as jammers. This included, to some extent, the Continental 100-kilowatt transmitters made in USA. The morning of April 30th, propagation from the Far East was much better than usual here in Oklahoma. At 13:15, I came upon something new, a broadcast in English on 11-6-4-4. From the stilted style, it soon became obvious it was Pyongyang, and it was parallel to 9335 and 11710, so 11644 was a spur and matched by one the equal distance higher on 11776, which put a warbling hit on Dr. Gene Scott Anguilla. And I heard them announce that they were making their summer frequency schedule changes on May 5th. The significant one, as far as English, is to Europe, 1 hour at 13, 15, 18, and 21 UT, on 13760 and 15245. These are confirmed in the complete new schedule researched by Arnulf Piontek in Berlin, replacing the winter channels of 7570 and 12015. By the way, Wolfgang Büschel observes that some of their other frequencies put out similar spurs to the one I heard on 25 meters, for example, 15245.26 variable, may also be heard with spurs around 15183 to 188, 15302 to 307 at 0700 in Russian. As for English at 1800 to Europe on 13760, Jose Miguel Romero points out that will be colliding with CRI, which is already on that frequency in English to Europe at that time. So, as I like to say, it's commies versus commies. Here's another off-frequency from North Korea. Wolfgang Büschel finds it on 11677.03 from 20 to 21 UT. That's part of the 22-hour-per-day domestic service on shortwave in Korean. Also reported by Craig Seeger in New South Wales on 11677.2 at 0935 with very pleasant continuous music. Parallel frequency, equally strong, was also off 9665.41 on April 23rd. Seiichi Hasegawa of NDXC in Japan provides some frequency changes for clandestines or religious shows to North Korea. These are from sites in Armenia, of all places. Radio Free Chosun at 12 to 13 replaced 15755 with 12125, and Voice of Wilderness at 13 to 14 replaced 15710 with 11570. Ron Howard in California has been monitoring Lao National Radio on 6130 just about every morning at 1415 UT. Some days of the week they've been running English lessons, other days French. The English programs are called New Dynamic English and Functioning in Business. For example, the latter was heard on Friday, May 2nd, continued on Saturday, May 3rd. And on Monday, May 5th, it was the other one, New Dynamic English, instead. It said it was created by DynEd International for the Voice of America. But with earlier and earlier sunrises, he may not be able to monitor this much longer. Much easier for us to hear, if you want to hear something about Laos, is Hmong Lao Radio, transmitted from WHRI in South Carolina, Saturdays and Sundays from 13 to 14 UT on 11785. I have been enjoying the rustic folk music they often play, but on May 3rd I was horrified to hear Hmong rap instead. I couldn't listen to more than 7 minutes of it. Takahito Akabayashi in Japan tells DX Listening Digest of his experiences QSLing the Papua New Guinea station, Radio New Ireland. They have two post office boxes listed, 477 and 140 in Kavieng. But you'd better not use them, because it appears that no one picks up the mail from the boxes. His mail was in fact returned, so he sent another letter simply to Kavieng, New Ireland, Papua and New Guinea, and that reached the station and brought a QSL. In Australian DX News, Craig Seeger on his de-expedition in NSW reports Radio Vanuatu on 7260. Had not heard them for a while. On April 25th, they were weak to fare at 0652 with an ID in English and then into Bislama. He says the strength is much reduced to what was heard before, when it was sometimes even audible at midday. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio number 1407. Your comments and input very welcome to P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, USA. If you require a postal reply, I'd appreciate a self-addressed stamped envelope or a self-addressed postcard. Or email WORADIO at yahoo.com. A great deal more info is available to everyone at our website, which is non-commercial, worldofradio.org. 15420 is being vacated by Deutsche Welle's Arabic service after May 9th between 17 and 21 UT via Rwanda, which puts a strong signal into North America and caused WBCQ to go back to 17495. So, this may mean that the frequency is being cleared for the use of WBCQ as early as May 10th, but we have nothing definite about that yet. As far as I know, BBC via various sites is still on the frequency earlier in the day between 13 and 17. Deutsche Welle's Arabic service will be moving to 15445, By the way, I happened to have the BFO on when I was checking out their 15420 signal and discovered that the transmitter is slightly unstable. That is, the frequency wavers just a bit, as did other Deutsche Welle Rwanda frequencies, 15205 and 11865. Possibly this is because of an unstable power supply. Checking out the World Harvest Radio site, I see they now have an Angel 6. Yes, the sixth transmitter appears with its own program schedule. It's actually the third one at the South Carolina site. I believe one of the old ones from Indiana, which they moved in years ago and are finally getting on the air. In fact, Angel 6 is now carrying what apparently was previously designated as Angel 2 programming, including Hmong Lao Radio on 11785. In the DRMNA Yahoo group, Ben Cobb reports that a DRM experiment has been proposed by Digital Aurora Radio Technologies of Delta Junction, Alaska, applied to the FCC to experiment with statewide DRM in the 5, 7, and 9 MHz shortwave bands. Call sign has been assigned WE2XRH, but so far the license is in the pending stage. This is Southeast Fairbanks. Looking at his website, www.26mhz.us, for more about this. DART proposes to use some surplus over-the-horizon radar transmitters manufactured by Continental. This is to assess just how well a large state like Alaska can be covered by such DRM transmissions on shortwave. In its application, the company says the ultimate goal is to provide a terrestrial digital radio service to the citizens of Alaska. The population is underserved with respect to the ability to have a high-quality, reliable public radio audio service, especially in sparsely populated areas. If you'd like to DX Montana on medium wave, Walt Somniv in Victoria, B.C. on IRCA says the 750 station there, KERR in Polson, is considerably off frequency at night, 750.092, compared to KXL in Portland, which is on exactly 750. Pete Taylor in Tacoma says it's been that way for some time, but it only applies to their nighttime transmitter. In the daytime, it's exactly on the same frequency as KXL. It's Orgy Month again at WHRB at Harvard University, an excellent webcasting station, presenting hour after hour of musical tributes to certain classical composers, but many of the orgies are not classical at all. On May 7th tonight, it's Russian composer Alexander Glazunov, followed by the legendary music orgy, Cecil Taylor, jazz piano, anti-music, traditional Persian music, Friday the 9th at 15 to 22, then songwriters of the Middle Ages and so forth, right through June 1st with a wide variety. Read all about it at their very detailed program schedule via www.whrb.org. Kirsten Helene Kaiser sends us more about the disgusting case of her ex-husband, Kevin Alfred Strom. Most of it comes from a blog, which is called The Hook News Blog. He has been in court charged with possessing child pornography. You can read many of the disgusting details in this report, which I won't go into here, via DX Listening Digest, number 8054 at worldofradio.org. And Harry Helms points out there's quite a Wikipedia write-up about Kevin Alfred Strom of Voice of Tomorrow and American Dissident Voices. CBA 1070 in Moncton, New Brunswick, supposedly closed down forever several weeks ago. Then what was the CBC station people were hearing as far away as Scotland on April 29th? Via IRCA, Ken Baird got the answer from Jean Bobineau, supervisor at CBA. Yes, we were on the air for a few hours April 29th. We were asked to do a few tests. Unfortunately, that's probably the last you will hear of CBA. Just a bit about Latin America this week. From Bolivia, Radio Santa Cruz 6134.8 was heard May 4th at 0100 by Jerry Strawman in Iowa, reporting to Cumbre DX. He says, The best ever reception I've had, it peaked at S8, at least four IDs on either side of 0105UT, and a men's choral group signing off at 0108, uncovering Radio Aparecida in Brazil, which was clear but very weak. And listening exactly 24 hours later was Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania. He heard it on 6134.82 until sign-off at 0108 with several IDs. Scott Barber in New Hampshire says, it's been years since I've heard anything on this frequency, 3390.2 variable, April 28th at 2340, some Spanish vocal music, very weak. Well, it might be a third harmonic, but there is one Latin American station listed on 3390, Radio Emisoras Camargo in Bolivia, and it apparently is not inactive, according to the World Radio TV Handbook, LA Shortwave Logs. But the Domestic Broadcasting Survey says it was last reported in January. I've reconfirmed that in A08, Vatican Radio still has a little 2 or 3 minute English broadcast on 9600 between 2311 and 2314 UT. On the SW programs list via Hardcore DX, moderator Richard Cuff has some news which is neither about shortwave nor DX, about BBC World Service Audio on HD Radio. He's been looking around for stations which are streaming it and found another one, KMUW in Wichita, on its HD3 channel, which is recommended because it's at 128 kbps ASX stream, providing higher quality than BBC's own streaming. The only downside is that this is the news-heavy PRI service of BBC offered to public radio stations. Longtime shortwave listeners will remember His and Hers, a very popular show on Radio Netherlands with a married couple, Dodie and Jerry Cowan. Whatever became of Dodie Cowan? Well, Mark Vosmeyer has uncovered her. She now has a different name. She divorced Jerry Cowan long ago, so they're no longer belonging to each other. She's now an author living in France who celebrated her 70th birthday going by the name of Deborah Ray. Here's the website to read all about her, www.deborahrey.com. Craig Christ in Virginia has sent an email to Radio Slovakia International saying, I've heard that Pete Miller is being encouraged to retire. Please reconsider and keep him on RSI. He gives Radio Slovakia International its friendly voice on the airwaves. In my opinion, he is unique in today's radio broadcasting. He may be considered old-fashioned, but one of the main reasons I listen to RSI is because of him. We need more people on the radio like Pete Miller. However, the 2000 UT broadcast in English is no good in Europe on 9440. Jorge Trinado in Spain says, because it's colliding with China. More about our item last week about drastic cuts to shortwave broadcasts from Hungary, 4 hours per day. According to the World Radio TV Handbook update, there are actually five, one of which is at 01UT on 5965. That's intended for North America, and it's been hard to verify, but I was finally able to hear it enough to identify it under Radio Havana, Cuba. Great frequency planning. Harry Brooks in England thinks he's finally figured out the confusing schedule of Radio PMR Pridnestrovia. It's not 7 days a week. The 6040 broadcast, North America at 2215 to 2345, is heard on Sundays through Thursdays, while the 12135 broadcast to Europe between 1400 and 1700 is heard on Monday through Friday. An interesting entry in the WRTH update is a service called Radio Sauti ya Injili for Cameroon in the Fulfulde language via Germany on 9655 at 1830 to 19UT. Jose Miguel Romero in Spain has been monitoring it and researching it on the web. Strange thing is, the name of the station is in Swahili, not in Fulfulde. It's actually a Lutheran service. After some investigation by various of our contributors, Mauno Ritola says, as noticed by Jari Savolainen, this transmission is not Sauti ya Injili, as published, but Sautu Linjila. The address is in Cameroon. Meanwhile, the Swahili station in Tanzania Sauti Ya Injili hopes to set up its own shortwave transmitter there on 41 or 31 meters. I haven't heard much from SW Radio Africa on 12035 lately, since they were broadcasting via Norway, but they were coming in fairly well on April 30th at 1830 UT, since they apparently have changed to the Rampisham UK site. In BDXC UK, Dave Kenny in England says, I found two stations with surprisingly good reception in the evening from Ethiopia. Voice of Tigray Revolution, 5950, remarkably strong and clear from 18 until sign-off at 19, rather than the listed 1730. This was May 4th. And the other is Radio Fana in Addis Ababa, audible from 18 to 19 and 20 to 21 on 6110 with a good signal, parallel to a much weaker 7210. There's some interference from China during the intervening hour on 6110 from 19 to 20. Listen for distinctive Ethiopian music, which the station plays a lot of. Sign-off confirmed at 2100. IRIN, the Somali service via South Africa, we've mentioned before, at 1730 to 1745, has changed frequency yet again. They started on 9665, then 9735, and then on May 5th, they moved down to 7290, hoping to get more response from Somalia, according to Dan Henderson via Wolfgang Büschel. Ed Ensinger and I have heard Cairo closing its distorted Arabic service on 6290 an hour earlier than before at 0200 instead of 0300, contrary to published schedules. I think it's no coincidence that Egypt went on daylight time of UT plus 3 April 25th. This probably does not affect non-Arabic shortwave broadcasts. Mike Larvin has just returned to Derby, UK after an academic trip to Iran, and he did some monitoring while he was there. Far easier to listen to CRI than BBC or VOA on shortwave, not surprisingly given the recent cuts. Longwave was completely dead in Tehran, but there were many Russian and Turkish longwave offerings in the other city visited Tabriz in the evenings. AM was largely populated by networked IRIB-1 on, it seemed, almost every AM channel, plus other synchronized state-run networks. BBC in English came in overnight from Oman on 1413, just listenable, and barely listenable from Cyprus on 1323 kHz. Notable was the very loud bubble jammer on 1575, making Radio Fardaw 24 hours out of the UAE mostly unlistenable in both cities. I could only hear Fardaw late in the evenings by nulling it with my ferrite antenna. But on May 5th, the jammer was off the air, so it was very listenable in downtown Tehran. As I've been mentioning, the new summer update to the World Radio TV Handbook is now available free to everyone on the web, whether or not they purchase the actual handbook. It's very generous of them. You can find it via www.wrth.com, 104 pages of PDF. But you really ought to buy the book as well. The propagation outlook from Prague issued May 2nd. Geomagnetic field, active to disturbed, May 10th, 14th, 20th, 21st, 25th, and 27th. Quiet on the 8th, 11th, 12th, 15th to 19th, 22nd, 24th, and 26th, otherwise unsettled to active. And that's World of Radio number 1407. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week.